Morning. Let's open in prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you, Lord, for blessing us to see another new day. We thank you for your mercy and your grace. The Bible says that your mercies are new every day. So, Lord, we just give thanks each and every day. And we just ask that you would guide us, guide our hearts, lead us in the way that you would want us to go. In Jesus' name, I pray. Amen. How many of us know that there is power in the name of Jesus? How many of us know that God can give us a peace that surpasses all understanding? Can anyone testify of the goodness of the Lord in your life? Jesus, in John chapter 16, verse 33, he says, "I have told you these things so that you may have peace. In this world you will have trouble, but take heart, I have overcome the world." You may be going through problems in your marriage. Maybe you're dealing with anxiety. Or maybe you feel like you're dealing with a lack of meaning or purpose in your life. Or you're seeking God's will for your life. That leads me to the title of today's message: The Answer to Man's Cry. If you listen to the prosperity doctrine of our generation, we are told that God, he only wants health, wealth, and prosperity in our lives. And that's probably why our young people are pursuing the things of the world instead of seeking the things of God. In Timothy chapter 3, verses 1 through 5, the Bible reads that, "But mark this, there will be terrible times in the last days. People will be lovers of themselves, lovers of money, boastful, proud, abusive, disobedient to their parents, ungrateful, unholy, without self-control, brutal, not lovers of good, treacherous, rash, conceited, lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God, having a form of godliness but denying its power." I grew up in a low-income community, and I always endeavored to do so much more than how I grew up. And I desired great success in business, and I desired great business acumen. But when I received it all, I still felt unfulfilled in life. And I believe that God brought me to the point of success to reveal to me that for a man's life does not consist in the abundance of the things that he has, but the relationship that he has with the Lord Almighty. I've always heard God saying to me, I have more to you, for you. I just hear this audible voice that there's more to life with God than without him. Take your Bibles and turn to the book of John, John chapter 11, verses 1 through 44. "There was much grief and sorrow over the death of Lazarus." This is one of the most fascinating stories in all of Scripture because it shows the compassion and emotional side of Jesus regarding the death of someone who he loved and called a dear friend. "Now, a certain man was sick, Lazarus of Bethany, the town of Mary, and her sister Martha. It was that Mary who was anointed the Lord with fragrant oil and wiped his feet with her hair, whose brother Lazarus was sick. Therefore, the sister sent to him, saying, 'Lord, behold, he whom you love is sick.' When Jesus heard that, he said, 'This sickness is not unto death, but for the glory of God, that the Son of God may be glorified through it.' Now Jesus loved Martha and her sister and Lazarus. So when he heard that he was sick, he stayed two more days in the place where he was. Then after this, he said to his disciples, "Let us go to Judea." The disciples said to him, "Rabbi, lately the Jews sought to stone you, and are you going there again?" Jesus answered, "Are there not 12 hours in a day? If anybody walks in the day, he does not stumble, because he sees the light of the world. But if one walks in the night, he stumbles because the light is not in him." These things he said. And after that, he said to them, "Our friend Lazarus sleeps, but I go that I may wake him." Then his disciples said, "Lord, if he sleeps, he will get well." However, Jesus spoke of his death, but they thought that he was speaking about taking rest and sleep. Then Jesus said to them plainly, "Lazarus is dead, and I am glad for your sakes that I was not there, that you may believe. Nevertheless, let us go to him." Then Thomas, who was called the twin, said to his fellow disciples, "Let us also go, that we may die with him." So when Jesus came, he found that he had already been in the tomb for 4 days. Now Bethany was near Jerusalem, about 2 miles away. And many of the Jews had joined the women around Martha and Mary to comfort them concerning their brother. Then Martha, as soon as she heard that Jesus was coming, went and met with him. But Mary was sitting in the house. Now Martha said to Jesus, "Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died. But even now, I know that whatever you ask God, God will give you." Jesus said to her, "Your brother will rise again." Martha said to him, "I know that he will rise again in the resurrection at the last day." Jesus said to her, "I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me, though he may die, he shall live. And whoever lives and believes in me shall never die. Do you believe this?" She said to him, "Yes, Lord, I believe that you are the Christ, the Son of God, who is to come into the world." And when she had said these things, she went her way and secretly called Mary, her sister, saying, "The teacher has come and is calling for you." As soon as she heard that, she arose quickly and came to him. Now Jesus, not yet coming into the town, but was in the place where Martha met him. Then the Jews who were with her in her house and comforting her, when they saw that, Mary rose up quickly and went out and followed her, saying, "She is going to the tomb to weep there." Then when Mary came there where Jesus was and saw him, she fell down at his feet, saying to him, "Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died." Therefore, Jesus saw her weeping, and Jesus, who came with her weeping, he groaned in the spirit and was troubled, and he said, "Where have you laid him?" They said to him, "Lord, come and see." Jesus wept. Then the Jews said, "See how he loved him?" They're accusing Jesus. They say, "See how he loved them." And some of them said, "Could not this man who opened the eyes of the blind also kept this man from dying?" Then Jesus, again groaning in himself, came to the tomb. It was a cave and a stone laid against it. Jesus said, "Take away the stone." Martha, the sister of him who died, said, "Lord, by this time there is a stench, for he has been dead for 4 days. Jesus said to her, did I not say to you that if you would believe, you would see the glory of God? Then they took away the stone from the place where the dead man was lying. And Jesus lifted up his eyes and said, Father, I thank you that you have heard me, and I know that you always hear me. But because of the people who are standing by, I said this, that they may believe that you sent me. Now when he had said these things, he cried with a loud voice, Lazarus, come forth. And he who died came out bound hand and foot with grave clothes and his face wrapped with cloth. Jesus said to them, loose him and let him go. The first key point of this message is that God's timing is always perfect. You know, sometimes in our lives we want God to act right away, or we're praying for something and we want God to answer our prayers immediately. You see, God, he is unbound by limits. He defies the measurements of any kind. God's limitlessness underlies all of his attributes, his power, his love, his mercy. Anyone can measure the aspect of who God is. We have to learn how to trust God and know that he knows better for our lives. As we look back at verse 20, the Bible reads that Martha, as soon as she heard that Jesus was coming, she went and met him, but Mary was sitting in the house. Now Martha said to Jesus, Lord, you have been here. If you would have been here, my brother wouldn't have died. But even now, I know that whatever you ask God, God will give you. You see, death is inevitable for all of us. The statistics on death are that one out of every one person dies. The Bible reads in 1 Colossians chapter 15, verse 22, in Adam, all die. So not only is death inevitable, but it's inevitable that after death, we will stand before God, the righteous judge, and be judged by him. There are some that choose not to serve God because of the death of a loved one. And they say that the God of the Bible can't be a loving God because he allowed a family member to die. But the word of God tells us in the book of Ecclesiastes, it says in chapter 9, verses 2 through 4, everyone will die someday. Death comes to the godly and the sinful alike. It comes to the good and the bad people alike. It comes to the clean and the unclean people, those who offer sacrifices and those who do not offer sacrifices to God. The lesson here is that Jesus has power over life and death. In the book of Job, Job asks a pointed question. He says, if a man dies, shall he live again? It was the great evangelist Billy Graham who said, the moment that you read in the paper that Billy Graham is dead, you will know that he is more alive now than ever before. And he's in heaven. You see, we believe that the next person is going to die. We don't want to think about our death. We live as if we're going to live forever. And yet the Bible says that it is appointed unto man to die, and after this comes the judgment. How many of us place limitations on God and his abilities? This is what Mary and Martha was doing. I believe that Mary and Martha, they doubted the power of God in Christ because they knew that he could heal when Lazarus was alive, but they didn't think he could raise the dead. You see, we live in an instantaneous society. We want instant gratification. We want instant gratification. We want everything to happen right when we want it. And because God doesn't answer our prayers, it doesn't mean he doesn't love you. It doesn't mean that God doesn't love you. The Jews, they start to accuse him. It says that in verse 36 that then Jesus said, see how he loved. Then the Jews said, see how he loved them. They're basically, they're saying, hey, he doesn't love him. Had he loved Lazarus, then he would have came when Mary and Martha called for him. But God doesn't work on our timing. As I mentioned, God's timing is perfect. And John tells us in verse 5 that Jesus loved Martha and his sister and Lazarus. The Bible says that Jesus wept in verse 35. Why did he weep? He wept because he was a man acquainted with sorrows. He was a man acquainted with griefs. God is our refuge. The Bible reads in verse 43, now when he said these things, he cried out with a loud voice, Lazarus, come forth. And he who had died came out bound and had in hand and foot in grave clothes, and his face was wrapped with cloth. Jesus said to him, loose him and let him go. We talked about how Martha and Mary doubted God. Have you ever doubted God in your life? Have you doubted the power of God in your life? I can say I have plenty of times. You know, we say that we believe God, but we try to rely on our own strengths. We do that constantly, and I've done it constantly. I haven't fully trusted God in every aspect of my life. We all fall short. The Bible says that all of us fall short. So God is our refuge and our strength and a very present help in trouble. You see, we may not understand it all, and it's impossible for us to understand all of who God is on this side. But when we meet the Lord on the other side in heaven, we will glorify him even more for all that he's done. What would have been the greater miracle? For Jesus to heal Lazarus when he was alive, or for Jesus to allow Lazarus to die and God be glorified even more? So this is why God's will is perfect. God's timing is perfect. We may not know what his will is for our lives. We may not know what we ought to do, but we have to pray and ask God. God deserves our prayers. He is so worthy of our adoration. He is worthy of the glory. We should thank him for his mercy. We should thank him for his grace, his long-suffering. It's all about Jesus and not about us. Look, you're not ready to live until you're ready to die. You're not ready to live until you're ready to die. Jesus said, I am the resurrection and the life. Whoever believes in me, though he died, yet he still lives. And everyone who lives and believes in me shall never die. So Jesus says that I am the way, I am the truth, I am the life. Anyone who believes in me shall never die. In John 3:16, God says, For God so loved the world that I gave my only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him shall not perish but have eternal life. Eternal life awaits every believer. But for the unsaved, hell. Heaven is a real place, and hell is a real place. And hell was never created for humans. Hell was created for Satan and the angels, the falling angels. But if we persist on going our own way, then God has, he has no other reason. He has no, he has to judge. He is a holy God. As we close, if you don't know Jesus, we will be in the lobby. God loves you. And it is not God's will that any shall come to, that, and it is God's will that all shall come to repentance and to knowledge of who he is through his Son, Jesus Christ. This is the answer to man's cry. It's simple, it's Jesus. Let's close in prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you, Lord, for all that you've done in our lives. We thank you for your mercy. We thank you for your grace. We thank you for the story of Lazarus. And we thank you that you have the power over life and death. Please, Lord, guide us. In Jesus' name, I pray. Amen.